a guy on the way in, I was listening to the radio and heard a guy talking, Greg Laurie, about how we kind of base our lives on our expectations instead of the promises of God. Even as believers, we kind of think into ourselves, you know, I'm trying to kind of, in line with what Jesse was praying, we're trying to build our lives based on what we expect our lives to be, and then we ask God to kind of bless that life instead of trusting in the promises of God that, let me just tell you, don't really have that much to do in my experience with my expectations of life, right? The promises of God are about what he leaves me with, what he brings into my life, how he transforms me, what he calls me to. And as we talked about last week, or actually 2 weeks ago, you know, most of us kind of have this idea that our lives are this movie. It's a movie about us, right? And that everybody that's around us is basically an extra in our movie. And the reality is that it's not a movie about me. It's not a movie about you. This whole thing is about him. And everything that he's trying to move you towards, everything that he's trying to do in your life, isn't necessarily to meet the expectations that you might have in your life. It's fundamentally about his plan for us to be transformed by him. And I urge you and encourage you to engage yourself in that process. It's been a whirlwind of a week since we were here last. Rusty Funk from World Vision stood before us last week, and man, he called us as a church to be engaged in this World Vision project called The Chosen. Let me just stop for a minute. Let me say this. I need to confess my sin. That's going to be good. You guys are all excited. So fun. Doug's going to say something again. No, huh? Again. Yeah, I keep confessing my sin. John, thank you. My sin, or at least my lack of faith, maybe, in an organization. World Vision was always one of those organizations that I thought was so huge. It's the largest Christian nonprofit in the world. And I always just kind of assumed, you know, yeah, it's a good organization. They're doing some stuff. But I never really led us as a church into being engaged with World Vision, just because I thought they were too big. They, you know, they were doing all these things. And let me just tell you right out of the gate, I'm sorry about that, because the stuff that I and that we saw over the last week can only be accomplished when you have the vast network of an organization like that. And we get a part to play in that as a church, and I'm pumped. Rusty stood here and said, hey, I want you to be involved in a brand new way that World Vision is handling child sponsorship. And that is that we, instead of you going back to a table at an event or at a church service and looking through a picture of all these kids and choosing one of those kids, we're turning that on its head, and we're going to ask you to have your picture taken, and then your pastors are going to come to the place that those kids are, and they're going to be chosen by the kid, which seems like just a marketing ploy, and it is a really good idea, right? But it's also something that I saw as kids who have no agency, no opportunity to exercise agency in their lives, never actually being able to choose much about what might happen to them or where they might become or what they might become, now have a choice. A small one, yes, but an opportunity to choose someone who will help them. Man, it was an awesome experience. It was a phenomenal experience, because when Rusty said that to us, we just come off the heels of this passage, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 17. The kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his abilities. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 more talents. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. Now, in the last week, we have been on a plane for 44 hours. Michael Sieber, who is our executive pastor of ministries, I think slept 38 of those hours. I slept about 3 of those hours. And not only did we travel through the air that long, but we spent probably 16 hours in vehicles. And that was in about a 48-hour period. So we have really done nothing except for move transportation-wise across the world and in the country of Zambia. But in that whirlwind experience, one of the things that I had to just stop and thank the Lord for is how proud I am to serve Jesus with you. I mean, seriously. We had 505 families sign up to be chosen. 505. I mean, amazing. That's like 25% of our attendance last week. 25% of our attendance last week. Usually World Vision says that they get about 5%. So we go to this chosen event and we meet two other churches. One called New Psalmist Baptist Church, ministering for more than 80 years in the downtown section of Baltimore. They had 700 families choose. We met Brian from Crossroads Grace out in Sacramento, California, his church, another 300 or 400 who chose to be chosen. It was one of the largest World Vision sponsorship events they've ever had, just by three churches. In fact, it was so large that it gave them the opportunity to have another chosen event this week that some of you will be a part of. I mean, God was just moving in that. And I was just grateful as your pastor to be able to realize that you listened to the Word of God, that you took some of the resources that God had given you and you decided that you would apply them to the need or the opportunity that he set before you for the building of his kingdom, for his glory, and for making the world a better place. I remember we said last week, it's not like we're ever going to do enough to make everything right in the world. It's not like if you just do everything perfectly, if you just serve and love and give and meet the needs of all the people, that somehow we as a body are going to reverse the curse, the brokenness of the world. No, because Jesus is going to come again and do that at one point. And we can't do that. But what we can do is give people a glimpse of what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like, what he intended the world to be. And man, I'll tell you, when you go and you see the brokenness of a society, the poverty that's there, the lack of opportunity, man, it just exposes the brokenness of the world. And when I'm driving through this and thinking about you being willing to do what you did, it's a small thing in some senses, but the passion that you have, the desire you have to build the kingdom, to bring glory to God, and to make the world a better place was literally inspiring. Now, one of the first things that we did, along with pastors from these two other churches, is that we got a chance to see this chosen event. I mean, it was incredible. Parents had come to this school, to this place. Parents and kids had come, and they were there to be a part of the sponsorship party. Moms with huge smiles and what seemed to me to be a feeling and an air of, I guess maybe peace is the best way to describe it. There was just this feeling that you could tell there was a relief in some ways. And we were welcomed by this whole community of people. It was astounding. And honestly, the only response I could have, and the best way to describe it, was joyful humility. I just thought, how can these people? Remember Rusty had said, remember one thing he told us, that just because somebody is in poverty, just because somebody is in a situation that's worse than you are, does not make them any less valuable, does not make you more valuable. And man, those words were just totally ringing in my ear as I watched these people who'd walked to get to this place. And I know, I've been in a lot of these kinds of events over the years, but for some reason, this just struck me in a different way. And soon, the doors of the classrooms at the school were opened, and the photos of us and other people were kind of placed there. And kids started walking down, which I thought was going to be a red carpet. It ended up being kind of a deep blue, but whatever, you know? And they walked towards this thing, and some of them were so funny. Some of them were petrified. They didn't even know what to think. They'd had it explained to them. They were going to go. They were going to pick up the card. They were going to bring it back, and they walked sheepishly down, and then they would stand there and look. Others would just run to the front, you know, grab it and run to the back without much thought whatsoever. But there were some who would contemplate and look and pick them. And it was just such a cool experience. And I got the joy of meeting Tridget. Tridget told me, my name sounds like Bridget. And Tridget's the one, by the way, on the right. Her mom is on the left. And I personally think she mostly spent the time just thinking about my fashion sense, right? I don't know if you noticed. It kind of happened by accident, but my World Vision shirt was matched perfectly by my Cleveland Brown socks, right? Man, it was perfect. She kept looking at it. Not really, but I don't know. It just felt so good as I sat there and I watched this event unfold. And you're going to get a chance to see some of this at the end of the service. But man, it was so exciting to see these kids walk up, not really sure what they were supposed to be doing, and grabbing hold of somebody who they thought they wanted to be pouring into their lives. But I have to admit, as I sat there hour after hour, those things go a long time. And I was sitting there just watching it, and I started having these pessimistic feelings. My optimism started turning to pessimism. My joy started turning to the question, really, is this going to make any difference in anybody's life at all? And what's $39 a month really going to do in the life of Tridget? And I really did start wondering. You know, I've just flown so long. I've just traveled so far. And I'm seeing this stuff happen. And I'm thinking to myself, does it really make a difference? And over the next 30 hours, that question would be strongly answered. Because over the next 30 hours, what we got to see was the benefit of what we're doing. The child who chose you benefits in a deep way, because the community that they belong to benefits by what our resources provide. World Vision takes every aspect of nutrition, sanitation, healthcare, education, vocational training, of food production, livestock care, and economic development, and addresses every one of those for the community. I mean, I guess I thought when I went that it was going to be almost like a food thing, right? You know, the kids come and they get fed every day, and they make sure that they always have enough to eat and those kinds of things. And I realized they don't do a feeding program with World Vision. What they do is transform communities, because that's what makes a difference. What they do is intervene in the life of a community and change what happens in that community. And therefore, the kids that we sponsors have an opportunity to thrive. That's what World Vision does through this child sponsorship stuff. Let me just quickly take you on a journey of our trip to the Zambian bush. First of all, World Vision did an incredibly impressive job taking us to their works in a flawless nature. You know, I don't know, African roads are not always the best. And the drivers who we had with us were impeccable in terms of how they navigated every rut and every ditch and every bump that was on those roads. And after one particularly incredibly bumpy road, we arrived to a village. And in this village, we met a family The husband was named Stonewall. He's 24 years old. He's there on the right. His wife is Linus. She's 21. They have three kids and one on the way, a five-year-old, a three-year-old, a two-year-old, and then one on the way. And as you can tell, they are in a fairly difficult situation. Linus, the woman, is the mom of four kids. She had her first at 16. Her husband said that he got married because he wanted his life to be better. That's what Stonewall said. And he said, looking right at her, he said, and what I discovered is that my life got worse. Not because of Linus, but because of the fact that now he's responsible for these four people. And he had no idea what that was going to mean. I mean, these kids, all of them had these deep, wet coughs. They were ravaged by sores and scabs. They were dehydrated. Their eyes, it's a look that only hunger brings and discouragement brings. Far away, a little bit cloudy, you know, not really looking at you, but when they do, it feels hopeless and yet far away. And we just sat there and listened to his story about how his tribe had given him 4 acres of land, but they had no opportunities because he didn't know how to farm. He didn't have the resources to farm. And so he scavenges to feed his family. And this is miles from any city, so it's not like they're, you know, in the midst of being able to beg or anything like that. They're in a very difficult situation. Their water source is about 3/4 of a mile away. It's a dirty, dark kind of pool of water that makes them sick. They had dysentery, kids that it was in every way everything awful about it. We took a walk down to where they get their water with them. Linus is, like I said, 6 months pregnant, and she had to get the water. She had to bend down about maybe 4 feet and dip it into this water. And 6 months pregnant, I think water is 8 pounds a gallon. She probably had close to 40 pounds of water in that bucket, and she pulled it up and put it on her head as a 6 month pregnant woman. All I could think of was something's going to happen right now. And the guys who were there, the people who were there, we just, you know, I couldn't stand it. We took the water off her head and we carried it up to the thing. But, you know, one time. I mean, it's the woman's job in that culture to bring the water. Her husband didn't even think about it. It's just like, come on, Stonewall, you know, this is probably your job now, right? But that's not the way it works. As we sat there that day, one of the things that the World Vision people had told us as a start was clean water is the very first priority. Because if you don't have clean water, it's all trouble. And so that's the absolute first priority. But having made that trek, having been in that situation, having watched them and answered their questions and talked with them and spent a little time just kind of trying to develop this little quick relationship with them, I looked at this guy's shoes. Can you go back to the picture just before it? I don't know if you can see. I guess you can't see his shoes in that picture, but it was literally just shoe tops and no soles. And I thought the whole time, I need to give this dude my shoes. And we got distracted. And when I got back in the car, I realized that I hadn't given him my shoes. And I said something to one of the guys from World Vision, and he said, let me just tell you something. He said, he doesn't need your shoes. He doesn't need your shoes. We'd left them a hamper full of stuff that was like enough food to maybe last them a week or two, and he said, they don't need that food. That's really not going to help them very much. The only thing that's going to help them is that their community has a complete overhaul. And he said, that's what we do. And I thought, huh. So that night, we drove all the way back and we're sitting around dinner and all of us were thinking to ourselves about these kids who hadn't eaten and wouldn't eat, and we were having a nice dinner and I mean, the World Vision staff wasn't manipulating us. They were just trying to help us see some things. And so they asked the question, what'd you think about today? And as we were sitting there thinking about it, we were talking about the desperation that was there. And they just let us talk and let us kind of be led down this bit of a depressed state, I guess you could say. And then they said, okay, we're meeting tomorrow at 6, and we're going to take you to some other places. And what happened was that we got to see what World Vision's influence did in a community. And so we went into this community where let's stay there for a minute. That's more important. I should be sticking to my notes. I told them I would. I never do. I never. You know that, right? And so let me just take a step back. The first person that we met that day was Bishop Adnan. And the bishop, 13 years before that, had been approached by a guy from World Vision, and he said, we want to help your community. But here's what you need to know. We believe that the only way to help the community is first through a spiritual transformation and through the church. And so the leaders of World Vision, having chosen this guy, discipled him and brought him into a place where he understood what it meant to make disciples, to be a disciple and make a disciple, and what that meant for the transformation of a community. And so they began to meet with him, and he got this passion to see his community reach for Christ, but also to be helped. And so as the bishop then began to, you know, kind of work in the midst of that, we started to realize, as I watched it, that World Vision works through church partnerships to make this a reality. And as they began to get in place with all this stuff, it brought the community, this village that he was a part of, into a place where the World Vision programs could really help them. And as I said, the first thing that World Vision does is they bring water into a community. That's Odin. Odin is a guy who was completely lost, found Jesus, and it changed his family. This well, which they used to have to walk to get dirty water. In fact, his daughter, 5 years ago, was fetching water one day, fell into an 8-foot hole, and because she couldn't swim, she drowned. And Odin now has, within a 200-yard walk of his home, this beautiful World Vision well that not only did they provide, but they also trained Odin and others on how to maintain it, and it continues to work incredibly well. They brought bicycles into the community. And why did they do that? Because they knew that education is absolutely essential for youth. And for the children to be able to get to places having had to walk long distances, bicycles help, especially high school and junior high kids who are intimately involved in helping their parents run the household. It allowed them to get to school. And that changed the course. Education, huge. How they handle their livestock. Now, just a second, I want to show you something, but I want to explain it first. I was so enthralled by this. It was like a community event. Once a week, all the goats and cattle get taken to what they call the livestock dip. If you grew up with goats or cattle, you probably know what that kind of looked like. Maybe in your ranching history, you might have seen them be sprayed as they walk through. That's not really the case here. What they do is literally dip them. They have to go through a 6-foot deep trough that has the pesticides that keep all the bacteria off these goats. And I slowed it down for you because I really wanted you to experience it. Here is a goat getting dipped. I love the technique that the dipper uses. Wait, go for it. Did it not work? Slow motion. Isn't that awesome? He gets it done every week. You wouldn't think he'd be that worked up about it, right? But it changed the course of this community's life. It changed the course. And so one of the people we met, we just started to talk to him. And you know, thinking back to what we'd seen the night before, Linus and Stonewell. I mean, here they are, once again, their kids just completely disheveled, completely, man, there's a good possibility that that family won't even exist when the World Vision stuff gets to their village because they are in such difficult straits. But someone 5 years ago in the same straits was Memory and Odin, and here are their kids. Now, we gave them the sunglasses. But it's a completely different place. Memory and Odin aren't better people with more dignity than Linus and Stonewall. They've just been given an opportunity. An opportunity. And of course, you know, obviously, not everybody does good with the opportunity that they've been given, but at least they have an opportunity. Our partnership with World Vision is about bringing God glory, about building the kingdom, and about helping the world become a better place. And it did. It starts there with World Vision, with identifying the pastors. And the bishop, man, he and I became pretty close friends. I think there's a video, or not a video, but a... Oh, yeah, sorry, that the bishop. The bishop, he began to really get engaged with a bunch of different people. One of those people was Straw. Straw's story is that through his 20s, he was an alcoholic. He in fact, had been so distant from his family that his family had thought he had died. And after they hadn't seen him for nearly 5 years, they decided to do a burial for him, put him in his grave. And they didn't have a body, so they slaughtered a chicken and put the chicken's body in the grave until they could find the body if they ever would. And one day, Shraw showed up at this church that the bishop was leading, and began to talk to the bishop, and the bishop started to share the message of Christ with him. And Shaw says that on July 13th, 2012, I became a follower of Jesus Christ. And that changed everything for him. He began going to these World Vision-sponsored classes at the church where he learned about everything in terms of agriculture and animal husbandry and mechanics and water, and all these things. And when we went to Shraw's property, it was this sprawling 104-acre ranch with 35 head of cattle, more than 100 goats, hundreds of chickens, 40 acres of corn that he grows 10 times more than he needs, and sells the rest to the community. He has fields full of everything from watermelon to carrots to all sorts of just vegetable things that are there, all sorts of vegetable things. You know, eat your vegetables. But man, it was amazing. He had water running from this well that he had dug, and it was mechanized. Plumbing system that fed his shower and his bathroom and his house and his workshop and his watering troughs. It was this massive situation. He had these employees who were there working for him and harvesting, and he learned about all that stuff from World Vision's business courses that taught him how to not treat his employees well, but also to make investments. And his wife, who was responsible, part of the community, as a trustee of the community, had been at the watering, or at the dipping tank early in the day, and then had to stick around for a savings and loan meeting that they had put in place in their community, something World Vision had taught them through, because churches like ours had decided to give sponsorships to kids. And these kids now were growing and changing and experiencing life in a way. One of the things that Linus said to me was, I didn't know I was bringing my kids into a world that would be terrible. I just wish my kids could experience something good. And the next day, we got to see kids who were experiencing good. It was beautiful. It was transformative. And we have a chance as a church to change another community like that community was changed. Man, the Chosen Party was an exciting day. I really do wish you all could have been there. I do. I wish we all could have seen it together. But obviously, that isn't possible. And so we did the next best thing. We took Ryan Peterson, one of our communications guys, with us, and Ryan did this masterful job of staying up most of the night, every night, editing all the thousands upon thousands of frames that he shot that day. And he came up with this video that helps us see what this was about. Take a look. God's calling us to be stewards of the resources that he's given us, to be able to meet the opportunity that he's uniquely put before us. And this is one of those opportunities so that we can be a part of, you know, this inherent dignity, passing it along for the glory of God, for building his kingdom, and so that these kids in this village, these two villages, get a glimpse of what a better world's about. And it comes through Jesus using us. Yeah. I have to say again, I'm so proud of us as a church in the best possible way. I'm grateful for your engagement in this process. And now it's time for you to get a chance, if you signed up last week, to meet who chose you. And if you haven't, and didn't get a chance to do that last week and you'd like to today, you can stop by the table in the upper commons and get signed up, and you'll be a part of a chosen party on Wednesday. And how this is going to happen is, as you make your way out to the back, again, they're all on the left side of the commons, and there's a way you're going to have to kind of go through a little bit of maze of people or a maze or line to get to it, and then your name is up on that, and just the child's photo and the reason he chose you is in there. And so as a church, we just are grateful that we get a chance to pour into the life of a community in southern Zambia and change the course of their history. So let me pray, and then let's go celebrate. God, thank you so much for just our ability to, and the resources that you've given us, and this church's willingness to give of those resources for your glory. for the building of your kingdom, and so that people in Zambia could see what it would be like to really live, what it's going to be like to really live when you've changed the world back to what you originally intended it to be. And so this morning, God, we praise you for being able to be part of this. We ask that you would win people to Christ, that you would transform them, and that that our world would be a better place because of it. Thank you for those who've decided to give of the things that you've given us back to you. And I pray, God, that now as we start these relationships with people across the ocean, that they would just be blessed and that we would too. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you guys for coming this morning. But man, it's going to be fun in the lobby.